Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Sans Pants Radio. Dusha got 6 weeks.
Oh, give him the chair.
Welcome to How Good's Footy, a weekly AFL podcast where we ask the most important sporting question of all. I'm Carney.
I'm Tom.
And I'm Dusha.
Boys, how good's footy?
Here we go, here we go, here we go. Here we go, here we go, here we go.
Well, after, okay, so round 20 of AFL was the most fucked thing I think I've ever seen over the space of a weekend. This week, however, couple of close games, relatively uneventful apart from that.
I'm a bit dead inside.
So am I.
It hurt. Footy hurts this week.
Yeah.
I think we should somehow get the rights to REM's Everybody Hurts and play that instead of our normal jaunty theme tune, because footy's a cruel mistress, and if you're a Geelong supporter, or a North supporter, or a Brisbane supporter, or a Port Adelaide supporter, or a Melbourne supporter, you're feeling that.
Is your pain sadness or anger?
Man, bit of frustration.
Yeah, mine was massive frustration.
Yeah,
to the point that I nearly went out and bought a toaster and a hammer and brought them into the studio and smashed a toaster to pieces because fuck umpires.
Jeez.
Yeah,
mine wasn't necessarily umpires. Mine was just
your insipid team.
Well, it was so frustrating. I'm going to let that just slide off.
There'll be more.
Yeah, I know. But no, the thing that's frustrating is the official Geelong Twitter put up a thing being like, we left our run too late. I reckon I could go back and there are at least 5 to 6 games this year where I have seen the exact fucking same tweet.
Yep.
And it hurts.
Do you think that maybe your coach, Chris Scott, should maybe have a word to the boys and be like, play 4 quarters of football, you fucks?
He basically did in his press conference after this game. He was like, you know, no one said we don't have an effort. I thought we played brilliantly in that fourth quarter. I think the deeper question is, though, why are we waiting until the last quarter to play that brand of football?
Yeah.
And I'm like, that is a coach just quietly going to his players. What the fuck, guys? Yeah, well, we might get to that on my game, but it's a bit frustrating this week.
So we've had 2 serves of toast and 1 roast, but a painful roast because
it wasn't well cooked.
Yeah,
it was a bit underdone. The crackling wasn't quite crunchy.
Yeah,
the potatoes were cold.
It was like
gravy was good.
I ate the roast, but it hurt me a bit.
You've repeated on you the next day.
Yeah, maybe a bit of indigestion.
Bit of indigestion. Maybe you shit the bed. Who knows?
Yeah, yeah. Look,
basically, that'd be if you were having a Melbourne roast, you'd shit the bed.
there's a few big things to come out of this round. I have a few predictions based on the results of round 21.
That'll be good.
Yeah, so here's one. I don't think Melbourne are going to make the finals, and I don't think Port are going to make the finals.
Oh, that's not a big one. Port are fucked. They're cooked.
I think Melbourne are also cooked. I think that they needed to... So, spoilers. They lost to Sydney today. They really needed to win that for their confidence.
I've done a ladder predictor.
Whoa.
How many times?
I've done a lot of ladder predictors since the results. Chris Scott also said, I've done a ladder predictors 500 times. I'm with you, Chris. I've done it a lot today with the results. Just looking at it, Melbourne will be playing for their finals chances against the Giants.
Oh.
And the Giants in that situation could be playing for top 4.
Could be playing for top 2.
Which means that they won't be taking their foot off the fucking accelerator.
And they're getting guys back.
Melbourne could be the team with the highest percentage to ever miss finals.
Yep.
Fuck, although the way your boys are going, You'd be close to that too.
Wow, yeah, fuck.
Oh, man. Anyway, why don't we start with the good news of the week was you won, Dusha. The train is, it looked like it was going to get derailed.
It was.
Last week.
Yes, last week the train looked like it hit, I don't know, some cunt kid left rocks on the track.
Even this week, it looked like it was derailed.
Yeah.
It looked like the freight train hit some, I don't know, whiplash?
It was, too soon. so also, any St. Kilda supporters out there, Nathan Brown is a fucking piece of shit.
And not Nathan Brown, who played for Richmond and the Bulldogs.
Oh, no. He's, you know, he's filth too.
Not broken leg brownie.
No.
Fucking
KFC.
Nathan.
We called Nathan Brown KFC boy because did you ever hear that after, when he played for the Bulldogs,
yeah.
Brisbane beat them in a final up at the Gabba.
Yeah.
And he went out on a bender in Brisbane, went to a KFC, couldn't get served, and headbutted someone who worked at the KFC.
That is fucking funny.
So he's the KFC man.
Yeah, that's
wow.
Fair.
So if your name's Nathan Brown.
Well, no, so this is TC Nathan.
This is
he went from Collingwood to St Kilda.
And then decided to fucking kill Saad with a very late, very high, very intentional bump.
He's going to get 2 weeks, I reckon. Oh, 2 or 3.
Saad didn't play out the game.
No. It's going to be intentional high contact, high impact.
But
that's what it is already. They've already sent him straight to the tribunal, yeah.
Because it's high. Anything above high impact goes to,
And we also had one of my favorite cases in this game also, where Kale Hooker hit a bloke, got off, crime of passion.
Yeah. That's the only way. Seriously, though, that is the only way Kale Hooker got off. Because I was talking to you before, Sean.
Oh, no. I think the big thing, part of the reason why he helped. Like, you know what? Finish what you're saying, and I'll jump in because I have a reason why he also got off.
But it has to be crime of passion because in the week we've had. Sorry, Dusha, but it has to be. Because the week we've had where it's been like punching is bad, Kale Hooker punches someone and they go, I just fine him. Send a message. Give him a week.
I think
Tom Hawkins gets 2 weeks for that exact same race.
Kale Hooker didn't land the punch. It didn't hit him.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Was it the Joel Selwood defense on Lindsay Thomas where he got reported for striking and then when they investigated it, went, oh yeah, the punch actually didn't hit him.
Yeah, he missed. And the player reacted like he got hit because he wanted the free kick. But ooh. I think that...
So then why was he fined for the action?
Well, because he tried to hit him.
Yeah, it was the Alistair Lynch.
The Alistair Lynch, yeah.
11 weeks for... for windmills.
Shadow box.
One for every punch that didn't land.
Yeah. 11 weeks for being an embarrassment. Missing. How can you miss that many fucking punches?
Oh, I don't know.
The fine was actually because of that. Like, it wasn't the tribunal didn't fine him. John Worsfold did. I mean, mate, connect next time.
We also had a pretty similar situation to GWS where... played a lower ranked side, St Kilda, and by the end of the game, we had no bench.
You had no bench at 3/4 time.
Which is very concerning, because you don't want injuries in a game that's meant to be percentage booster.
It was a percentage booster. You ran... it was an even contest in that second quarter, and then the third quarter...
No, we kicked 4 goals in the space of 5 minutes at the end of the last... the end of the second quarter.
What, but in that early on in the second quarter, it was ebb and flowing, and St Kilda kind of got in with a sniff. But in that end of that set, there was basically a 15-minute burst... in both the second and the third quarter, where I was watching and I'm like, holy fuck, the Bombers are unstoppable
when
their game works.
Yeah.
Yep.
When that speed, there was a passage of play where I think Stringer kicked a goal, starting on the back where McKenna kicked it out and then McGrath had a run. They are so fucking fast that you there were no defense in the world has any hope
and
beating him on the run.
I tip my hat to your boys as well, Dusha, because we saw on the weekend Port Adelaide got a few injuries and then just capitulated.
Yep.
Whereas you guys played it out.
Yeah, and like we stayed on.
Yeah, but they were about 40 points up when the injuries occurred.
Still. It's easy.
No, we lost 2 players in the first quarter.
Yeah, Saad was early.
But St Kilda aren't West Coast.
No, that's true. That's fair enough.
Yeah. And then you were... I'm not dampening anything, but I'm saying you didn't lose key personnel at a key time.
So Saad, Langford, Hooker and Fantasia all were off injured.
Fantasia's unlikely to play this week,
yes,
I think.
But the other three...
Hooker's fine, I reckon.
Hooker's fine.
Goddard is apparently fine, too.
Oh, sorry, fuck. Goddard as well. Yeah, we had 5 players. But Langford went back on during the game.
Yeah.
That's why I got confused. Goddard, they were worried. And at first, they thought it might have been a career-ending injury.
Yeah, but apparently he didn't actually do any structural damage. It's just tweaked it a bit. And they reckon he'll be fine. He'll play this week, they reckon.
Yeah, sick.
But Aratio is the one they're worried about because it's the same hammy.
That's annoying.
He's just too fast. He's too fast for his hamstrings. He's got no... It's the Nakai Cockatoo thing. He's too quick for his own body. He tried to run out of his legs.
Tipper kick five, final straight.
I love him.
Essendon have a lot of exciting players, and I know that it shouldn't have taken me 21 rounds to realise that, but every week I'm just like, fuck.
The future's bright.
Yes.
Do you know who I love speaking of how bright the future is? Mm. Connor McKenna.
Yes.
Yeah, fucking love him. Out.
He's got pace. Yeah, he makes some dumb mistakes, but he looks like, before Pierce Hanley had all those injuries,
yeah,
and you'd watch him and go, geez, he's quick. That's what McKenna's got.
Mm.
He'll get better because he's still a little bit
yep.
green, so he makes dumb decisions
yep.
and gets tackled or fumbles the ball. But when he looks
loyal too.
unlike who?
Hanley.
Oh.
Dog. No, anyway.
McKenna, love him.
The Bombers are the quickest team in the AFL.
They'd have to be.
Mm.
They'd have to be.
There's a few teams that are really quick when they need to be.
Brisbane's pretty speedy.
Yeah, you guys are pretty quick.
Not yet at the level that Essendon are.
I think Essendon, so there's a few teams. For instance, I was watching the Bulldogs game today. We're recording on a Sunday currently because I'm going overseas.
The reason we're recording early, there is currently a game in progress. We decided not to wait for that game to finish because
Fremantle take on Carlton, and it's very uneventful and went exactly the way everyone would have expected it to. We'll get to that later, maybe.
If we finish the show before the game finishes, bad luck, Freo Carlton.
Yeah, I was looking North Melbourne and Western Bulldogs. Western Bulldogs are very quick when they need to be.
They've always been quick, though. Yeah. Like, you look at that 2016, that finals campaign was built on
speed
at halfback.
Pressure, yeah.
Pressure, get the ball in.
Pressure because of the speed, yeah. Essentially, yeah.
Richmond are quick, but they're not. They're quick in their forward line, their halfbacks, whereas, like, Essendon are quick. All over the ground. They've got jets everywhere.
There was an interesting stat on the screen during the Saints-Bombers game. I don't know why it surprised me. I'll see if it surprises you guys. It had the average games of the players on the St Kilda list.
Yeah.
How many games do you think they're averaging? Bearing in mind that they were sort of thinking they were going to play finals this year, and when you're pushing into finals, you're getting towards the 80 to 100.
I reckon.
30.
Not that bad, but 50. Like 53 games. Which it surprised me because I genuinely... They're sort of at the end of one of their current plans, do you know what I mean? Where they should be pushing into the finals.
Yeah.
You would have thought they'd be around 75 games.
Maybe people did overestimate them.
Is that, who did they lose? Obviously, they lost Riewoldt and Montagna.
Yeah, that brings them huge. They would lose 50 games average.
It wouldn't be that much.
Riewoldt and Montagna both played 300.
But you look at that average, and that makes you just think that they've got a real sort of golf. When it comes to sort of senior experience, leadership.
Which is what they were hoping for with trying to get a Fife and every other player that they could try to throw money at. Dusty.
There was a rumor going around today. I don't know if it was a rumor, but it was just a question of would you trade Jack Billings for pick 10?
Well, the big one at the moment is Hanbury.
Yeah, to the Saints on a 5-year deal or something.
But I mean, he played pretty well today. For
Hanbury's contracted till 2021. So they'd have to move that contract.
Well, it'd have to be a trade. And I don't know, unless St Kilda are going to go to the Swans, we'll give you a high pick. Swans will play hard ball too. They'll want a top draft pick for Hanbury.
He's got a lot of money. They might be, because his form's been down for probably a year and a half. City might just say, you know what, if we can get rid of some of that salary cap pressure. Maybe they're bringing somebody else in. You never know with Sydney. Sydney's always cooking something.
A sneaky team.
Mm.
Let's just try and go through the games in order because I'm getting too excited about.
Good job, Bombers.
Good job, Bombers.
Essendon
well done.
Won, got the job done. If we beat Richmond next week,
it's on.
Fucking well and truly. It's on. Because of some of the results this weekend,
it's on.
It's on.
I've done the math.
It's fucking on.
I've become that guy from the show Numbers, but with the ladder predictor. And I've done the numbers.
Can we point something out to listeners?
Yeah.
That Joel Dush is wearing an Essendon beanie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It looks fresh as. It looks like it's been bought today. Even.
Brand fucking new. Is the tag still on it?
So I've got a confession, boys.
Oh.
I bought this last week when I went to the game, but I couldn't say because I was sick and I called in sick to work to go to the Essendon Hawthorn game.
I think that's a great Australian tradition.
Yeah, so that's where the beanie came from. Wore it out of the game. Sunglasses, beanie, scarf, disguised myself in case I was on TV.
Disguised yourself as a Bomber supporter because normally you'd be in your Sydney gear.
Yeah. Actually, I've got a bit of a surprise.
Oh! Shit! Oh!
Oh, Tom, what happened just then?
What a reveal! Joel Dusha has just taken off his Essendon beanie and the fucking Swans beanie was underneath. He has been wearing that beanie for half an hour before we recorded. Fuck.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited about both teams winning.
That is the greatest visual
representation of a TC.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Absolutely. I'd discussed this before coming into the studio. Yeah. Honestly thought I was going to get called a fucking piece of shit, direct quote from Sean.
I would love it if he removed that one and there was another SNL.
Nah, I read
it. Yeah, he's only got two. Well, next game then.
Okay, so speaking of the game being on, Tom, the game I think might be off for Geelong.
I've done the math.
You've said that.
It's still on.
Oh, okay, then we're good. I guess Essendon did just lose to Hawthorn as well, so...
Hawthorn are a fucking good side.
They've really come together from nowhere.
Well, to be fair, Geelong and Hawthorn's form in a season doesn't matter in those games.
Yeah. I went to the Geelong Hawthorn game.
Mm-hmm.
And Joel, can I put this to you?
Yes.
What I witnessed.
Yes.
A fucking disgrace.
Oh!
Tom.
Fuck off.
Nah, come on, mate. I'll tell you what.
I'll tell you what as well.
All right.
Fuck you.
Nah, fair enough.
I don't want to get into disgrace. Look.
Everyone who loves footy has a second team who they have a soft spot for.
Yep. Yours is Geelong.
Mine is Geelong.
I'm
fucking regretting it now. They're hurting me.
They are.
The way you're playing.
They're hurting me, Sean.
You must be hurting more than
you
I.
You ready?
Probably. Just a little bit more.
Do you know why I'm fucking hurting?
You should play fucking 15 minutes of footy. That's it.
15 good minutes of footy.
That's it. And it was nearly enough, but...
Fuck, it was... So here you go.
Yeah.
I think if there was a... If we missed... I don't think we will. I think just based on some of the results this
Kane Corns described as an incredibly soft draw, so...
We do, and that's fair. We've got two games at home against two teams well outside of the eight and who have underperformed this year. We should win both those and probably by enough of a margin to be in calculations. Results this weekend went our way. We've got the percentage covered for Port. So even if Port win both their next two games, our percentage has them covered already.
Yep.
And we draw level with them.
Let me tell you why I still believe in Geelong.
Although, if Port win the next two games, they are in the eight by...
One game.
Yep.
I don't think they'll win the next two.
I don't think they will either.
You know why?
They're going to run into...
They're going to run into a fucking freight train here. This is going to be fucked because it means that round 23 could result in a Friday night game where...
Two teams are playing for a spot in the finals.
Yeah.
And then on Sunday you have... Anyway, Incredible. But we're still in it.
Yeah.
I'm still holding on to the math.
Tom, this is why I believe still.
Yeah, why?
Because I think as it stands, Richmond's the biggest chance.
Yep.
Hawks have suddenly become a big chance.
Yep.
And you're the team that plays the best against those two teams.
It's true.
So you've got to just go make the finals.
Here's the thing, right? If we make the finals, we're a bit of a chaos side.
Yeah.
Right? And any of those teams could beat us on any given day.
Yeah.
But weirdly, we're also that team that knows that if we're five goals down at the start of the last quarter, we can win.
Yep.
Or we can get close enough to... Like, we can get ourselves in a winning position
when
we're down. And Sean, I think that's a scary thing to face in finals.
I'd just like to point something out. So you just said that they play best against Hawthorn and Richmond, who are both big chances of winning the flag this year. So last week... Richmond beat Geelong by 3 points, and this week Hawthorn beat Geelong by 11 points.
Yep.
Are you still confident that they could perform in actual pressure rather than just garbage games that mean nothing?
I think Hawthorn have beaten them by...
Fuck you.
Hang on. No, that's fair, Tom.
No, that is fair. No, that's...
When you dish out performances like you have been, you've got
to
cop it.
I'm prepared to cop it.
I have serious doubt. Like, I have worries with Geelong because they just mentally... They're not switched on. And I look at Richmond, I think Richmond are one of the most even teams I've seen.
Yeah.
And Geelong...
Richmond feel like they've come a long way from last year.
We're not going to talk about the bottom six again.
Well, no, because
I'd extend it to probably 10.
No, because Sean...
Geelong have 10 exceptional players, probably.
Yep.
It's just a rough number off the top of my head. 10 who are extremely good, who are nearly elite, you would say, probably.
There'd probably be 5 who were elite.
Yeah.
And then five in the bracket who are close to elite.
But then it sort of just drops off. As long as you've got blokes like fucking Parsons in your team.
Sean.
It's killing you.
Sean.
Henderson was garbage too yesterday.
But this is the problem is though, I don't mind that one where Henderson has a bad game when he's so reliable and so good. He had a bad game. I think Guthrie had a bad game and Mitch Duncan had a bad game.
Yep.
He was named in the best in one side and I'm like, they've clearly looked at the stat sheet because he did nothing for three quarters.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't buy into our bottom six. And that's because I believe in a certain bottom six. Parsons isn't in that bottom six.
Hmm.
Parsons was terrible. just how he gets a game. He didn't have a, he was not playing amazing in the VFL either. Like, so he's getting games. I would have persisted with Jones because at least Jones brings some fucking tackling pressure.
It's at that point where it's who's Parsons got like naked photos of?
Oh, the has to be everyone.
It's just
has to be everyone.
And the like, see, so I was seeing him with certain like a bunch of Geelong fans. They fucking hate him, Tom.
He's no one.
They can't stand
there is
it.
No one that I know who thinks Parsons is any good.
A guy in front of me nearly had a heart attack.
Yeah,
he was the most angry negative fan I've ever seen. Your boys were killing him yesterday. His boys too.
Yeah, well, they should have.
Yeah.
But no, Parsons isn't in a best 22.
No.
O'Connor, I get the logic, but I don't like Jordan Murdoch. I would pick Jordan Murdoch ahead of both of those guys because at least he looks a bit sure of himself. He's played about 100 games.
Yep.
Get him back in. I would have stuck with Kunikko. He had a flat game last week, but he's been such a solid contributor. People are like, they should have kept Ryan Abbott for Stanley. I disagree with that. Stanley's the in-form ruckman. He was deemed fit. They brought him back in, and then he injured himself. No one could have predicted that.
Question for you.
Yes.
When you go to games, this is you too, Dusha.
Yep.
Do you sometimes look at the stat sheet at the end and go, oh, he had heaps of touches. I didn't really notice the influence.
Yes.
Dangerfield yesterday.
No, I disagree.
At the ground, I was saying to my mate, maybe hasn't done much. And then at the end of the day, 40 touches. And I was like, am I blind?
See, I think maybe at the ground it was different because watching it on TV, I couldn't go to the game. I've been sick, as you can probably hear. I watched it on the couch and he was in fucking everything.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And because he's at the bottom of packs getting the ball out. He does this fucking thing that I love where he just throws himself on the ball and a lesser player would get pinged.
Yeah.
But he gets the ball, gets it out of the congestion, just stands back up and handballs it. There is no player, I don't think, in the AFL who is as good as getting up from being tackled.
I think Geelong need to tweak what they're doing because I probably don't want Dangerfield to be the guy at the bottom. You want him to be getting it. And because his disposal efficiency is not great.
It's because he's on the bottom.
But yeah, I know, but I actually want him to be the one who's getting fed. And Ablett's role has changed. Like, people criticise him, but
he had a fucking awesome game on the weekend.
He did some things that were just shithouse.
Kicked three huge goals.
And he did some things that were really trash.
32 touches, where
you watch him and you go, come on, mate.
Yeah, but I think you could say that about everyone in our side in those middle two quarters.
But that's a worry.
Like
a big worry.
Tim Kelly and Duncan had shockers for the whole first part of the game and then blew to life in the last quarter.
Yeah.
Like, there was two passages of play where Duncan ran in off of the back of the square and just had the cleanest pickup of the ball. And you're like, where the fuck was that 3 quarters ago?
I think we've talked a lot recently about Geelong have a lot of close games. And I think you can really narrow it down to just a mental thing with them because I think they don't switch on. They don't switch on for 4 quarters. And that's why you get in these situations where you're awesome when you're coming back from 5 goals down. That's when you watch Geelong go, fuck. Imagine if they played like this the whole game.
I mean, we could have. This is the thing that's frustrating, right? We're now ninth and we're relying on other results to get us into finals.
Mm-hmm.
Hawthorn by a point, round two.
Yep.
Bulldogs go after the siren. Almost beat Richmond last week.
Yep.
We're in a position to beat Hawthorn this week. There's 4 games.
Yep.
We win those 4. Even 2 of those 4.
How many of you won close, though, as well? 2 Melbourne ones.
2 Melbourne ones.
So I think they've got to address that. They've got to be like, you need to fucking switch on for the whole game because you're going to kill. They're going to kill your coach.
Probably.
Because Geelong might get to a point, and it's not inconceivable that they fuck one of these 2 remaining games and miss the finals, and then you've got to make a decision on Chris Scott.
Well, see, but here's the thing. Everyone, this is the thing that actually shit me about the loss on Saturday.
Yeah.
Was everyone was piling into Chris Scott. And I'm like, he actually did everything in his power, bar the 2 selection decisions of bringing in Parsons and O'Connor.
Yeah.
I would have brought Murdoch in and stuck with Kunikko or Jones. Yeah. Fuck, there's a kid named Charlie Constable playing in the VFL who's averaging 31 touches every week.
Yeah.
Contested possessions too.
Get him in.
Get him in the fucking side.
It killed you two actually losing Stanley. We should note that.
Stanley, we were clearly winning the ruck battle.
Yeah.
We're winning the clearances.
Because the first 10 minutes, Geelong were on fire.
Yep.
And the last 10 minutes, absolutely on fire.
But even the start of the second quarter where Hawkins misses that shot.
Oh, there's some of the misses late.
But no, but I'm talking about second quarter.
So but even late too. Like yeah, Hawkins, the late misses, Parsons missed one too?
Parsons missed one, but who cares? Hawkins should have nailed that one and that brought us back, would have brought us level.
Yeah.
Scores are level and we have all the running. So the thing about the Stanley injury though that is big is that it meant that our back line had to restructure because it meant Blitzarves had to move back into the ruck, which was fine.
Yeah.
But it just meant that our structure in that back line changed.
Yep.
Stanley is our number one ruckman.
Yep.
and I would have backed him playing at the game, and we were in a good position, and it just so happened that because of Roughhead's injury, Hawthorn had two specialist ruckmen in their side.
Yep.
And they just started smashing us in the middle.
Yep.
Look, so yeah, disappointing. We'll be right.
What I took away from it is that Geelong's best is still
fucking good.
Very much capable of winning them the grand final.
Well, that's hey, that's a very big positive.
It is. Yeah. Our best. This is the thing. Our best is capable of beating Richmond on grand final day. Our worst, we could lose against Gold Coast this week, in the next 2 weeks.
Freo would be more of a danger, I think, than Gold Coast.
Yeah, I guess. Maybe.
Just because they have, in the past, played that ground okay.
They like that ground because it's smaller. Yeah.
But Freo, we'll yeah, and especially if they get in, like, because Freo are a team that can get into players' heads, and your team seem to be the type of team where it's pretty easy to get into their heads.
I don't think that'll happen this week. I think they'll be fired up from losing to Hawks.
Also, Freo have probably five players who will be looking at it saying, this is my second last game of AFL. So they'll just go for it.
If they're named.
Well, they're not going to, they would know.
Well, no. What I know, if, so when I say named, I mean I,
in the team.
The,
you mean
the theory? At the moment
might come
is
back
that,
for the Collingwood game.
Yeah, that, gotcha. In that Collingwood game, Ross Lyon's going to bring back four or five gotcha. Guys who are yep. never going to play again. Anyway,
all right. Next game.
Next game.
Richmond beat Gold Coast by 74 points.
There I think what you meant to say was Jack Riewoldt beat Gold Coast.
Yes, he did. So he kicked 10 goals, 6.
Oh, Jack, probably. Biggest individual game of the year.
Yeah, huge. By he has just sewn up the Coleman medal and an All-Australian game.
Oh, Benny Brown had an all right day, didn't he?
Yeah, he kicked 4, so they're even on 58 goals apiece.
Yeah, cool. Jack Riewoldt sewn up the Coleman.
Well, I don't know. Who's playing on him next week?
Oh!
We've got to, like, it'll be either Hurley or Hooker.
Who are they playing in the final round?
Richmond.
Yeah.
They got, like, someone.
Western Bulldogs.
Soft kill.
Jack.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because North Ben's been Brownie's been up and down.
Yeah.
And he was playing, they're playing against the Bulldogs who don't have a fullback.
Yep.
Which is also where Jack Riewoldt may kick 100. Oh, actually, Jack will know by that point how many
he needs to win.
Yep.
Oh.
He was so frustrating to watch today because I Ben Brown that was. I watched a bit of the game and it was get off the fucking ground, idiot.
Yeah.
Stand up.
Just sick of him.
You're
keep
a big
your feet.
Fucking unit.
Frizzy head, fuck.
But yeah, Jack Riewoldt, arguably one of the individual games of the season.
Well, he scored 66 points. He also had fucking like 25 touches.
Jeez, that's huge.
Do it against the Bombers and then we'll be
26
impressed.
Touches, 2 tackles, 14 marks, 10 goals, 6.
But here's the thing, right?
192 Dream Team points.
He was playing
fuck,
on...
captain.
Oh. No, you think that's big? So last week...
someone got bigger than that.
201.
Shut the fuck up.
Josh Who? Kelly against Carlton.
Oh, Kelly.
Had 40 possessions, I think 15 inside 50s, all of them at like 80%, like was cooked. He had arguably the best individual game since they've recorded like ranking points for Fox Footy or whatever it is.
Dream Team points for Kelly last week, 153. Tom doesn't know what he's talking about.
Oh, Tom.
Oh, you know what Tom. I'm doing? I'm looking at ranking points from, I think Fox Footy gave him...
What, from 2 games in a row? Come on, mate. Fucking lift. You said you were the numbers guy.
Oh, no, you know what I've done? Supercoach points.
Ah,
different fantasy league. He got, because if you hadn't put the captain on Kelly, he got 400 points last week.
Jeez.
Anyway,
huge
game from Riewoldt. Gold Coast is shit. Next game,
Port v West Coast.
Oh boy,
who did everyone tip?
I tipped Port.
I tipped Port.
I tipped West Coast.
Oh, Sean.
I'd like to bring up a stat.
Hit me.
I'd like to also bring up a stat. Where are you on the footy tip ladder?
Not good.
Yeah, where am I?
Not good.
Just kidding. Still first by 2.
2?
What?
Because this week, yeah. I was like, look, I'm 2 clear or 1 clear. And I was like, I need to put in a rough tip just to put the competitors to bed.
Yep.
Was like, Melbourne, no heart. Sydney, want to play finals real bad. Guess what, boys? Sydney fucking won.
Oh, shit. But on this game.
Yep.
So, first of all, West Coast won.
With a kick after the fucking
siren. Again, by McGovern, who plays centre half back, floated forward, took a beautiful mark, and went back and just slotted it through. Now, Port Adelaide, just want to have a guess at their record against the Eagles at Adelaide Oval.
Oh, I don't know, fucking 0.
Correct.
Whoa.
Port Adelaide have never beaten West Coast at the Adelaide Oval.
Jeez, that's
why I backed them.
Whoa, that's
West Coast have an amazing can't play at the G, can play in Adelaide.
Yep.
Move
the grand final.
The other thing I'd love you to... This is a great little one that you'll appreciate. So this is from North Melbourne fan Jared.
Okay.
Yep.
Just said, firstly, sorry for your losses to me, and then said, fun fact, Ken Hinckley's men led siren to siren for the whole game, yet still managed to TC winning. But that's true.
They did. They were in
Port
front.
Were in front.
For all of the game.
For the whole game until... West Coast didn't hit the lead until after the siren.
That's huge.
To be fair, and we talked about it before, Port had massive injuries key players.
Harden up.
So they lost Ryder?
They lost Ryder. Dixon's now done for the year, broken leg.
Jesus, was a bad break.
It was similar to the Radigalia one where his foot got stuck underneath him and broke at the ankle.
Do you reckon, so how long's Lee gets back?
Well, he's done for the year. It's Asava's still not back and he did his in round what?
Do you reckon,
10?
Do you reckon when Dixon comes back, he'll actually be a good player?
Oh, he's, the thing about Dixon though,
he feasts on shit teams.
Oh,
he does. He's nothing.
He's a flat track bully and he needs to lift.
Well, he won't be lifting much with that broken leg.
So here's the problem, though. So they lost Dixon. They lost Ryder.
Yeah.
So Ryder goes. Dixon starts going to the ruck. They lose Dixon. And Dougal Howard, who's their other makeshift ruckman, I think also went down and went in an ambulance.
Jeez. Yeah.
So they lost three players who were crucial to their structure. And then West Coast just went, all right, here we go. Because Port were controlling the game. Like it was, they were running all over the Eagles. The Eagles didn't have, you know, none of that gaff pace or punching. So they were in a bit of strife. What I think they did though, I think they've done a bit of a cheeky tactic, boys.
Ooh.
I think the Eagles have
How good's footy exclusive?
Yeah. I think what happened was I cannot confirm, cannot say my sources.
Can't name your sources.
Can't name my sources. But I believe that the word on the street is that before they left WA.
Ooh.
Member of the coaching panel just collected some grass clippings
from
Hellhole Stadium.
Oh.
And when they got to the ground, Shawshank Redemption style, just sprinkled them out the bottom of their shorts.
During the warm-up.
And the Hellhole turf, which is violent and aggressive, just took over patches of the normally benign Adelaide Oval and fucking destroyed three blokes.
Which is also probably cooked Port Adelaide for finals.
I think so. I think they were already
cooked.
No, but like without, they've lost three ruckmen basically.
They've lost Ryder multiple times this year, and it's never helped them.
Yep.
He's so crucial to that side.
He'd be like, he's been injured that much this year that would probably be a big worry for his career. Almost, I reckon.
Yeah, I think it's been different injuries. Yeah, the Achilles problem is not an Achilles again, is it?
It's a hip, I think.
Oh well, there you go.
It's it's whatever he had a couple of weeks back before he came back in.
Oh wow, same again,
a hip, I believe.
Jeez,
so could be wrong
again. You look at teams' fortunes hinging on like injuries to key personnel. So you look at the Giants who were cooked 5 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I look like a genius. They've good players come back. They're now flying towards a top four finish. Geelong had a good start of the year, lost our whole back line and struggled in the middle. And then you look at Port who were kind of playing quite well.
Yeah.
And then injuries have just crueled them. So,
and then, of course, Richmond, who have had a lot of... Oh, wait, no.
Oh, no. But that's what I mean. No injuries to Richmond.
Yeah, good on them.
And that's another thing we can criticise. That's just luck. Yep. You know, Collingwood were flying, and then all of a sudden all these injuries hit.
Yep.
It just... You can kind of...
Well, I would argue that good teams deal with that. Port Adelaide are not a good team.
They just don't have the depth in... Well, the issue is I don't think they have the depth in the areas where they've had the injuries.
True.
If they'd lost a small forward or a wing...
Yeah. Or every other team is coached by a human, and they're coached by a fucking crab.
Oh, Kenny. He looked... I will say this, though. When Dixon was coming off the ground, they showed Hinckley in the box.
And oh, was he doing that? Celebrations, holding up 1-0 or whatever
to
do?
No, he wasn't doing that. He just looked like a man who was watching 2018 disappear.
Yeah, he retreated into his shell.
He did. He pulled those... Eye stalks in, the claws came in, and he scurried, buried himself in some sand so he couldn't be caught by a bird. By Big Bird, playing the big game. We're the Eagles. We're flying high.
Good. Next game. speaking of birds, Collingwood played Brisbane.
Filth.
Filth. That's what you want to say about it?
So Sean, I was at a show, so I had my phone off.
Yeah.
And I missed all of it. You looked good, and then I turned my phone off.
Well, boys.
And when I came back.
First of all, sat in a Brisbane section, which was great. It actually felt like a home game, weirdly, because there wasn't really any Collingwood, except one of our mates that we went to the game with was Collingwood, and he was sitting behind enemy lines.
Is he still alive?
Yeah, he got a bit fucking chirpy, I'll tell you what. Yeah, we got a few looks. So I had to throw some elbows at him and stuff.
Like I never get chirpy. You don't get. I was at fucking Port Adelaide game. You don't get chirpy. You respect the crowd you're in.
His name's Norman. Storm and Norman. Doesn't hold back. He just fucking. There's a guy.
Hey, Sean, it's pretty easy to get fucking chirpy when your fucking team's like top four.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're playing a team that's in the bottom four.
A bit of a dog act.
Yeah, I would say it's disrespectful.
There is
flat track chirp.
There's a big fella who goes to every Brisbane game, and he's the one who always starts the chant. And our mate Norman said, I feel like this guy's eyes are burning into me because he knows, he can tell I'm Collingwood. He wasn't wearing any Collingwood, a bit of a dog act, I think, as well.
Oh.
You've got to don the...
Does he have his own paraphernalia?
He knew that he was going to be sitting with Lions.
Hang on.
And so he was a coward, basically.
Oh. So I have been to Port Adelaide in my full Geelong gear twice.
Courage from you. I respect
Hang
that.
On. I just want to rewind a bit. So he not brave enough to wear... Collingwood, so to wear like a jersey or a beanie or a scarf.
A beanie would be fine.
But fucking brave enough to get chirpy when Collingwood are like well in the clear.
Yep. Dog.
Yep. Piece of shit.
Get anyway, friend, Sean. So the guy would stand up and start the chant and Norman would just stare into his eyes and sit there, arms crossed. Yeah.
Just don't get chirpy. I'd respect you if I invited you to the Geelong Brisbane game.
Yeah.
And if you had to come, I wouldn't have got chirpy. I wouldn't have expected you to get chirpy.
Oh, mate, I would have got chirpy.
You would have got elbowed.
By you or by the grandmas who go for Geelong?
The grandmas, they're nasty.
Oh, they would. They come
after run
me.
A fucking game.
Oh, I wouldn't be like, I wouldn't be chirpy in the sense that I was disrespectful.
No, not yet.
I'd applaud some good work from the boys. Yeah. But
Gotta support your team while you're there, regardless of where you're sitting.
Anyway.
Now, boys, you do like a bit of a bit of a report on fans in my vicinity.
Yes, I absolutely do.
It is the thing I live for when you go to the football.
Look, there was a period of the game where Collingwood got about 4 or 5 goals in a row directly from like free kicks. And the Brisbane crowd were livid. And I was one of them. And I let rip on one decision. I can't remember
what
I said.
Do it.
I can't remember what I said. It was colourful though.
Yeah.
And I've looked to my left. And there's a bit of a gap next to me, but a few seats down is a mum, a Brisbane mum, with her little kids. And then I was silent for the rest of the last quarter. It actually it shut me down because I was a fuckhead.
Were you the person that
I wasn't out of line the football context.
Did you become the person you hate at the footy?
No. I was just kind of like, oh, for fuck's sake, or something like that.
Did some guy stand up and like, hey, cut, there's fucking kids here. Because that's my favourite guy.
We had a guy behind us, and the fans that I hate are the stats ones, the ones who like pouring over the stats, but also he was like an old Italian guy.
I mean, I love a good stat.
You love a stat. No, but an incorrect stat, like using stats for bullshit arguments. And I liked these guys at the start because I was like, oh, we're both Brisbane. This is good. You guys are great. They were super negative. They got to the point where it's the old fella and his kids, and he would just be like, oh, of course, yep. You know, oh, yeah, Collingwood, they're going to get the ball back. Look at them. They're going to have a shot. Oh, they didn't get a shot. And he just does that the whole game. It was like just shithouse commentary from an angry fan.
Yeah, no, I do that. I sometimes vent my frustration when someone does something bad, and I'm like, see, there you go. That's why you're not winning.
You're allowed to do that. If someone... Like, what are you doing? And stuff like that. Yeah. But this guy was commentating everything and being like, they're going to fuck it up. They're going to fuck it up. Oh, fucking Brisbane. They'd always fuck it up. He was just like...
Oh, I hate that.
Hated him.
Believe in your team, mate.
Do you know what?
Scintillating first quarter.
Quick side note that goes back to what I said before about my favorite guy at the footy.
Yep.
Also a big fan of the guys that just yell, have a shot, anytime a player is within 75 meters of the goal.
Yep. Or if it's a particular player.
Yeah.
Like, I go to the footy often, and anytime Zach Tui gets the ball, someone will just go, have a shot!
Yeah. No, I would be the one yelling that.
Yeah, it's good.
Anyway, scintillating first quarter, Sean.
It was, but I do want to comment, like, fans who don't have 100% of a grasp on the game, you know the ones who, like, they rip into your players because they haven't charged at them and tackled?
Yep.
You know those ones? Yep. Where it's like, we probably watch it and go, no, if he commits to that, it's going to clear space. And he's basically zoning and pushing him towards the line and that sort of thing. But you get these aggressive fans who are like, fucking tackle him. Yeah. Fuck. And it's just shit like that all game.
I do that with Parsons on the weekend because my mum was like, oh no, he's guarding space. And I'm like, there's no one in the space that he's guarding though.
Yep.
No Hawthorn player is going to go there. Do you know where they're going to go? They're going to go to the two guys on their own that he's got his back to.
Yep.
Fucking left. Anyway.
Great first quarter. Brisbane's inside 50s in the first quarter, it was 22-6. We're only up by like 2 goals, though. We kind of wasted it. We could have been up by like 4 or 5.
Were you bombing it in and they were intercepting it, or were you just missing?
No, because they didn't have Jeremy Howe to kind of intercept it. So we were going in high, and Oscar McInerney played pretty well.
Just couldn't put on the scoreboard.
He just gets high. Oh, he was taking a lot of marks more up the ground and stuff, but like McStay and Hipwood, they were all flying, and it was a pretty good start. They just kicked like 3-4 when they should have kicked probably 6 or 7, which was annoying. Yeah.
That would have been huge.
And then that takes the win.
Also, probably the turning point, the most important point in the game, and people who don't watch a lot of Brisbane won't understand this comment, but Darcy Gardner is nearly the most important player in that team.
They're saying done for the season.
He ran out, tried to spoil Dugowie, who was matched up on, which is an interesting matchup, and Dugowie... Yeah. Gardner had beat him in the first few contests, and it looks pretty good because Gardner's our most improved player this year by a mile.
100%.
I think, popped his collarbone out or something like that. Just they tried to pop it in. They couldn't, and he was cooked for the game. So then we were a man down.
Yeah.
Which it does make it. And it impacts you.
It's a key position.
It's a key man.
So it's a guy who's put time into Dugowie, who then kicked 4 goals.
Because we had to put Nick Robertson on him, and he tried as hard as he could because he does always. But he just, he was outclassed.
Doesn't have the class.
Also, this Dugowie kicked 4. At least 3 of them were directly from shitty umpiring. Ugh. And it fucking kills me. One of them, did you guys see the one in the goal square?
No. I didn't see any of this game.
It was honestly, I got to a point halfway through the last quarter. Brisbane are really good at last quarters, and I always believe they can come back. And it was about a 5-goal margin. I didn't give up on the boys, but I just went, we will not win this game because the umpires are just fucking us. Like, we actually can't. The free kick count was double at one point.
Jeez.
It was 20-10. And then they did that thing I think umpires do. This is my conspiracy theory. Tinfoil hat on.
They start to...
I think they know and they go, fuck, it's red time at the end of the game. And we got like 4 free kicks at the end of the game. So you look at the free kick count at the end and I think it was like 20-14 or something. It doesn't look as bad.
Yeah.
But again, it's the ones we've talked about this. It's the ones they don't pay. It's Collingwood get the home crowd ones for chopping the arm and just little pushes and stuff. Yep. And we don't get anything. And it just...
We feel the anger of the Brisbane boys.
We nearly had a boil over.
Still good signs and all of that, and they weren't embarrassed, and they kept trying, and they'll have a crack next week, and I love them still.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
No smashing toasters. You were close. I could tell. Yep. I just want your umpiring comment has raised 2 points from the Geelong game.
Yep.
Weirdly, could have been crucial had we leveled the scores.
Oh, Tom.
The behind that wasn't paid.
That's fucking stupidity, and that's the umpire, not the goal umpire's fault.
No,
it's David Roden, goal umpire, called
it. And... the boundary umpire signaled that it was a behind as well.
But then they didn't have the backbone to over... because the boundary umpire has a whistle. He can blow that and say to the field umpire, who clearly didn't see it, you're wrong.
Now, what should happen there, though?
So he lacked the courage.
Correct. But then surely do you go back at quarter time, review the footage and go, that is a behind, and just put the point...
Oh, that's a big... I don't think they do that.
They should.
Just because... Yeah.
Because here's the thing, if Hawkins... and it's an if, because he missed. But if Hawkins kicks that goal, we'd be a point ahead.
It's a real sliding doors moment.
It is.
In the correct way to use that.
In a correct way. The other sliding doors moment, under a minute on the clock.
Hated this one.
Blitzarves gets a free kick in the middle of the ground.
Have you seen this one?
Tom Mitchell takes the ball out of the contest, runs away with it, looks back at the umpire, and then kicks the ball. That's 50.
Dusha, the whistle blew.
Yep.
Mitchell grabs it, looks at the umpire, keeps running. Has another look. Second look at the umpire, because he knows, and then doesn't even commit to the kick, does a bit of a half kick.
Realises it's not his foot kick, so pulls the kick, but doesn't pull it completely, and still kicks it probably 10 metres away.
Really
bad. Time's still going.
That's 50.
And Blitzarv's going, that's 50 metres. The umpire's going, no. And people say, oh, don't whinge about that bullshit free kick, you got some others. I'm like, no.
That one was extremely crucial.
That is crucial. Yes, it's just under, it was like 57 seconds, right? Blitzarv goes forward. He'd be directly in front, 40 metres out.
Yeah.
That's a goal. All of a sudden, we're going back to a stoppage. 40 seconds left on the clock. That is enough time to at least draw the game.
That was the worst one of the weekend. We had a pretty bad one too in the Brisbane one. I think it was pretty early on.
People are bitching about that fucking Henderson one. Where they're like, oh, that's not deliberate. He got the ball, slowed down, turned around, and stepped over the line.
Yeah.
It's deliberate. You fucking
actually,
idiot.
Yeah, that was definitely there.
Sorry,
There was one in the Brisbane game where we got a free kick. And the Collingwood player, I can't remember who it was, just kept running. And the umpire had blown the whistle, kept running, kicked it well into their 50. And then there was no one down there. So basically one of our guys, because Collingwood aren't going to chase it, Zorko had to go all the way to the boundary line, grab the ball, kick it to the halfback flank, kick it back to basically the halfback line.
Yeah.
That's how long it took. And then Mason Cox has picked it up and done a bit of a rugby throw, missed the man on the mark. He's had to then run back and grab the ball. It was basically...
a minute and a half or 2 minutes after the free kick was paid that we took the kick.
And no 50.
And no 50.
Because what you do is you'd pay 50, and yeah. then if Cox throws it back again, you just pay another 50.
Yeah.
Barry Hall 150-metre penalty.
And then they paid Collingwood a 50, which they kicked a goal in like probably 10 minutes later. And it's just, it's shit like yeah. that where it's like, this is why fans hate the umpiring because it's inconsistent.
Yeah, it's frustrating. Yeah. It's a hard game to umpire, but those two from the Hawthorn game are so fucking obviously there.
Yeah.
And Hawthorn supporters are all over Facebook and Twitter bitching about the Ablett drop one. And I'm like, well, look, yeah, he definitely milks it and makes sure the umpire watches it. Yeah. But Isaac Smith fucks up by turning his back to the ruck contest. As soon as he does that, the umpire stops watching the ruck contest and just starts watching Isaac Smith.
Yeah.
As soon as you turn your back on the contest, they're going to watch you like a hawk.
Yeah.
And they're watching players like Ablett. Fuck me. Anyway.
Dane Beams had another ripper game, and Witherden had another like 30 disposal game.
How'd Huge. Stevenson go?
I think he took a... No, Stevenson played well too. It was really... They were the two highest ranked players on the ground. Witherden was the highest ranked, and Stevenson had 2 goals, 25 touches. So he's had
Bring it on.
They'll go 1-2, I think.
Yeah,
but geez. I think Stevenson will win it just because everyone seems to think
the Victorian groundswell. So, yeah.
All right.
There's not much more Witherden can do, to be honest. So yeah, next game.
Next game, GWS beat Adelaide and put Adelaide's season to bed.
Cop that.
Finally.
Hopefully Tex doesn't play again this year.
He shouldn't.
But in reality, I think he'll get 1 week. I probably wouldn't give him 2.
Kelly took no further part in the game.
That's going to hurt him. In fact, and it's Kelly, probably 1 week and then add another week because Kelly didn't play the game.
Because here's the thing, right? It's people go, oh, it's high speed though. It is 2 actions.
Yep.
It's exactly the kind of... And it's, again, it's the tackle that we know the way they penalise that tackle. You look at Brody Grundy last year and Dangerfield last year.
Also, if they get knocked down the tackle. You've also got to factor in it's Josh Kelly, who's probably 85 kilos, yeah, and Tex, who's about 105.
Did Taylor Walker factor in the weight?
It's dumb, but that's what they say you have to do.
But seriously. Yeah.
Also, if you watch it in slow motion, it doesn't help Tex because it's clear, even though it's split-second stuff, it looks like his eyes are on the ball and he sees Kelly drop the ball and then he slings him again. So I would give him a week or two.
Yeah.
Just end his season.
Do you know what it is, though?
Basically, even when he's on the field, he's not out there anyway. So
you might as well just stick to
the sideline. He had 6 disposals, I think, at 50% efficiency.
It's a big flog.
That is disgusting.
That's your captain. From the captain.
Being jealous.
When your season's on the line. Sorry.
Of a good player.
Well, that's their best player, too. So that's a nut, like, fuck.
He'll be fine, you would think. Well, will he?
I think so, yeah.
It's just, yeah.
Jesus. It's so Tex good. Walker, second lowest disposal getter in that game.
Yep.
The captain.
This is your captain in a game. So there's technically, with that win over Port Adelaide last in the showdown the other week, Adelaide's season is still alive. And now it's not.
I don't know the ins and outs of the Adelaide Footy Club, but my judgment, just purely in a footy sense, would be to give the captaincy to Rory Sloane and let Tex Walker focus on becoming a good football player again.
I think the captaincy worked for him, but I think
now it's too much pressure.
I think the issue was he didn't have a great game in the grand final.
Yep.
And I think he's the first to admit that.
Yep.
And he has been the first to admit that. But I think the pressure of being the captain of a losing grand final side and all of the spotlight that's on him. Tex Walker is a better footy player when he's just playing like a country footy player who's just getting a kick.
That's why people liked him. There wasn't the captaincy pressure on him at the start when he was
doing. And he had a mullet and a mo.
And because you can take the captaincy off him and still make him a leader. Look at Jack Riewoldt. They took him out of the leadership group a couple of years ago. Did wonders for him. He's back in there now.
Yeah, it was a couple of things with him. It was poor performance in the losing grand final.
Yep.
Poor speech in the aftermath of it, and then the way that he went after his own players when they wanted to leave the club.
Yep.
Yeah.
Disgusting. Yep.
And then a whole season of insipid form.
Do you know what, Sean?
Yep.
Give him the chair.
Fucking yep.
As in the not the captain chair, where they put you in a chair and you're no longer the captain.
No, I mean the electric chair.
The one you plug into the wall.
Yep. Next and game. Then we'll move on to Sunday's game. So yeah, Giants, scary in finals. Adelaide won't be playing finals.
Fuck, I am the first to admit I thought I was a genius and I'm not.
It looked good, Tom.
It looked so good.
It's good to see ladder predictions because, like, going into the finals on TV and stuff like that, they often have the top 8 and then, like, the next couple of teams.
The live ladder. Fuck.
Live ladder and teams can feasibly make the 8. Adelaide, nowhere to be seen anymore.
Good.
Bombers.
Bombers still there.
Still there.
All right. So Sunday, we actually had 2 really good games today and 1 piss poor one that just finished. North Melbourne cooked their season today.
They did.
North Melbourne just also... Like Adelaide.
And Geelong.
Said goodbye to finals.
Ooh. It's still mathematically possible.
Mathematically possible, but...
But...
They've got Adelaide on the road. And then
St. Kilda.
And then St. Kilda. But they've got to leapfrog Geelong.
That St Kilda game would be huge if they're playing for a finals berth, because the pressure might cook them. And also, you'd have, like, Richo is under huge pressure too. The Saints will come out firing, surely.
I don't think that North will beat Adelaide next week. I just don't think that a team that just lost to Western Bulldogs are in any way...
I mean, the fact that there's still a mathematical chance and Adelaide aren't... I mean, Adelaide are a better side without Tex usually, weirdly.
Yeah, they are. They'll come out and probably win next week.
Because they're unpredictable.
Did Jarrod Waite get reported or something?
Yeah. Apparently, they might one of those ones where it's an after-the-fact report where they actually review the footage of the game and go, oh, no, he's getting a week. What did he do, like push someone or punch someone? Or
I didn't see it. I only saw it because... I don't know if you've noticed, listeners, but I've been kind of distant in this episode. That's because I haven't been to bed. It is currently 7:30 on a Sunday night.
When were you last in bed, Dusha?
Between the hours of 3 a.m. and 9 a.m. Friday night to Saturday morning. Well, Saturday morning to Saturday morning, basically.
And when do you fly out?
Tomorrow at 3 p.m.
You're not going to sleep, are you?
Surely I have to. I don't think my body can take much more of this.
Well, but then you're on a plane for how long?
26 hours.
Bang, sleep there.
Sleep on the plane.
Poor boys. I don't know if I can do it. I'm 27. I'm getting old.
Can I also say, you've then got a show as soon as you land?
Yep.
Oh. Yeah, oh, it's fucked. It is gross.
I've given myself the chair. So, yeah, I've been quiet this week. Talking is a struggle. Editing is going to be a struggle. Sleeping is pretty much the only thing I'm going to be good at anytime soon. Anyway, Western Bulldogs played super fucking well out of nowhere.
2 weeks in a row. Well done, doggies.
But who did they play last week?
Saints. They came back from five goals down against the Saints as well.
Bontempelli did that thing where he's an exceptionally good footballer.
Yes.
Yes. so is JJ.
Yeah.
Yep.
How was that? I watched just sections of this. How was that passage? The indicative passage of play was, I think, in the third or the second quarter, they hit three or four goals in a five-minute burst.
That would be the start of the third quarter, where they went into the third quarter 28 points down, then kicked in the third quarter 8-1.
They just went bananas. Like, it's insane. They're doing a reverse Gold Coast. They're not playing for three quarters and just playing for one.
Yeah. Well, actually, sorry. They kicked 8-2. But still, that was just like...
Jeez.
And from that point onwards, North just couldn't recover.
No. It makes me feel better as a Geelong supporter that we got lost to them.
Their best is extremely competitive.
It is.
So there's not that much to talk about with the game except that, look, Western Bulldogs are still...
And North are in trouble.
North are well and truly in trouble. If they lose to their season could be going to bed.
I'm just going to... While you bring up the next game, I'm going to do a quick ladder prediction, just see what happens if they still win those
games.
The
next two. All right. Yeah. So another fucking huge game that had a lot of ups and a lot of very upsetting downs.
Put your beanie back on, mate.
All right.
It's the only time we'll ever let you wear it.
Melbourne played Sydney. Sydney needed to win to keep their finals chances alive. Melbourne probably needed to win this to even be a chance for top four. They fucked it. Sydney came out uncompetitive in the first quarter due to a tragedy that happened on the field very early on in the game.
Oh, yeah, shit.
And then it looked like that had just destroyed their morale. So basically, Alex Johnson...
Yeah, this sucks.
Johnson... was like competitive for the ball, and then all of a sudden his knee just went. They think it's his sixth ACL that he's done, and that will be his career. After he came back after 6 years, had played an amazing game last week, and yeah, they actually pulled him off the bench, put him into the rooms, not because he was in any pain, but like
it was a distraction, I think.
It was a distraction.
He was quite distraught too.
He was very upset. He came out and spoke to the boys at halftime though.
When you've had five knee recos, you know.
Yeah.
The minute it goes, you go, oh, that's what it is. And you saw he didn't cry in pain. He punched the ground. It's like that thing with Stringer the other week. He
knew what it was.
He knew what it was. Now I've just done some math.
Yep.
And North beat Adelaide.
Yep.
And St Kilda.
Yep.
They make the finals.
Yep.
But unfortunately, the Bombers don't.
Even if they beat Richmond.
Even if they win every game, because your percentage just isn't.
What's the gap in percentage?
Do you want something heartbreaking, Dusha?
It's less than 1%.
So North jumped to 7th.
Yep.
Sydney finished 8th. And that's losing the next two as well. So this win.
Four.
So Even if you win every game, you finish with 106.0%, and Sydney finished with 106.2%.
Imagine. That would destroy me.
So let's just hope North cock it.
So Sydney can still make the finals if they lose the next two.
Yep. That's how tight this is. This win was huge for Sydney. Melbourne also don't make it in that equation.
Yeah, fuck them. Garbage club, no heart, nor can make finals. Don't deserve to.
God damn it, Melbourne.
But they can still make it if a couple of results go their way in that outcome. But they can. I don't think they can finish any higher than about 7th or 6th.
So the Alex Johnson thing was very, very upsetting. But you know what wasn't upsetting? It was the opposite of upsetting. Heaney took a fucking huge cunt, almost fucking hit his head on the fucking moon. He got so high. He pretty much leapfrogged the guy.
Mark of the year.
That's it. That is it. He has
just won the car full of Weet-Bix.
He has. Sorry, Charlie and whoever else took a really good one. Magic,
can't even remember
probably.
Anyone. Oh yeah.
Well, Magic takes one every 5 seconds.
Heaney had a massive last quarter.
Yeah, Heaney ballistic.
He saved the game.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing is, Melbourne were in a really good position early, and then just like Melbourne, shit the bed.
They Melbourned it.
Sydney had a huge second quarter.
Well, they let Sydney come back in, and it wasn't like Melbourne didn't have chances. They kicked 3:14 to halftime.
3:12.
That is shithouse.
Disgraceful.
3:12 to 7:2.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, they had so much more of the footy, and yet Sydney made them pay by, you know, the accuracy and the...
Sydney went goalless in the last quarter.
That's what I mean. So Melbourne came home like a train. The problem is they just had left it too late, and Sydney are too good.
They Geelonged it.
Well, they Geelonged it, but I will say that Sydney are a different side to, say, a Hawthorn or a Melbourne or a Richmond when you're coming home hard. Sydney are very good at just locking a game down if they need to, and that's what they did. Alir played an outstanding last quarter. I watched three passages of play where he was involved in, where he got the spoil. Then when the ball came back in, he affected the marking contest. That wasn't a clean mark. And then again, the ground ball just put a hand in there and caused the fumble.
He's awesome.
This is huge, though, for Sydney's season. It keeps them alive.
Yep.
They were down on the paint after losing to the Gold Coast, and they've got back up, and they've spat their bloody mouth guard out.
Ooh.
And Buddy Franklin's turned around and gone, fucking come with me, boys.
Buddy kicked 2.5 today.
Oh, was in one of those forms where you're like, he could do anything this week. Melbourne, they're in trouble.
They are.
Just typical Melbourne.
You know what? I don't want to see them play finals. They're not good enough. They're not exciting.
Are they still not beaten a top 8 team?
I think they have now that certain teams have snuck into the 8.
Ah.
Did they beat Port?
Port have been in the 8 pretty much all season. I don't think it has. I think the...
No, Richmond. West Coast they've got next week over there. That'll be the first time against West Coast. No to GWS.
Have they beaten Hawthorn? That's the only team that's snuck into the 8 recently.
I don't think they've beaten Hawthorn.
I think Hawks smashed them.
Because then they've got Collingwood, Sydney, Melbourne, Port.
Yeah, and they lost to Collingwood. They beat North.
North aren't in the 8, though.
Oh, yeah, no, they're not. Oh, sorry, I'm looking at my ladder predictor. Oh, boy.
Well, that says it all, really.
Surely they have. They must have. I'm doing the math. Continuing on the next game while I look this up.
So the next game is the game that we don't know what happened. We were here. Frio, I can confirm, won by 29 points. Carlton were up at halftime. That's all I know about this game. So what do we think happened?
All right, I'm going to guess. Patrick Cripps played really well.
How many touches for Cripps?
34.
32.
There's another really obvious thing that happened in this game. So, Carlton were winning at halftime. What do you think happened in the third quarter?
Oh, they forgot to turn up.
Forgot to kick a single goal.
Yeah. Well, Freo kicked 7.
Jesus. Michael Walters, is he playing? Or is he out injured? He kicked 3, I reckon.
Walters.
I think he's injured.
Must be. Well, he didn't play.
3 goals went to another Freo player, though.
Cam McCarthy.
Yeah.
Oh. Was I right about Cripps? 34?
32.
No, 32.
Oh, Sean.
Yeah.
Charlie Kerno kicked 2.
Oh. Yeah.
Yes. And did Fife, was Fife back this week?
No.
So Lachie Neal probably had, he was the second highest possession
Walters
getter.
Did play. He just didn't do anything.
Oh.
How many for Neal?
Neal, 29.
34.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ross Lyon ate some garlic bread.
Yeah.
All right. I've just had a look at just at Melbourne. The only team they've beaten in the eight was when North Melbourne were technically in the eight.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
That's disgusting.
After round three. They've lost to Hawthorn by 67 points. So they've lost to Geelong by 3, Hawthorn by 67, Tigers by 46.
Fuck, not even competitive. That's disgusting.
Makes Collingwood by 42, Port Adelaide by 10, Geelong by 2, and Sydney by 9. The average winning margin, though, is like 50.
All right, so if you're a listener at Have Goods Footy and you're a subscriber to the Melbourne email list, unsubscribe. You're going to get a fucked email about going to the finals again, but you're not. No one's going to finals this year.
No, not you.
No, I mean, eight teams, yeah. I guess, will. I'm very tired.
If you go for Melbourne, though, you can also probably turn your oven off and pack it up into storage.
Whoa, not going to win another game this year.
Invest in a Baker's Delight. That's a bakery for all those people who listen from overseas. It's a very good niche Australian joke.
It was, trust us, it was very funny. It was. Very good.
It was very good. All right, proper calls for next week. Big calls, big games.
Essendon to beat Richmond on Friday night at the MCG by 9 points.
Oh, 7 points.
I reckon it'll be 3 points.
That means, he's not confident.
I believe.
I think that Richmond may... It's going to be a weird one because Richmond don't really care about the result of this game.
Well, yeah, but they do.
But I was going to say on paper, but because of the rivalry, they're going to want to come out and kill us again.
But also because they're Richmond, and if they can go 20 games straight at the G...
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, that is a big thing.
So it would also be a big thing if they only went 19 because that's an unbeatable.
Oh, Bombers.
Well, I think, you know...
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but Tiger... I don't think they go too well when they're hit by trains.
Oh, shit.
In fact, my experience with tigers associated with trains is they're usually in a big crate on the back and they're in a cage and they can't get out.
Yes. So this is also not the same Essendon that Richmond beat by like 80 points.
No.
It is.
They're missing way more players.
We're missing way more players, but we believe. And that's the difference.
You had a guy named Connor McKenna out there who could do fucking anything. Jakey Stringer's in a bit of form. No, I think you've got the midfield to go with them at the moment. So bring it on. Next game.
All right. Next game is Collingwood take on Port at the MCG.
I think Collingwood will just be too good at home for Port.
I think Port are a rabble, and I think Collingwood will win by 6 goals.
I mean, it's the kind of season where Port will pull it out of their ass and win this game.
I can't see it happening. I think Collingwood
will win. They want us to keep in touch with the top four. Yeah. Nathan Buckley to hook Ken Hinckley.
Just punch him.
Yep.
All right. Done. Port to go down by 2 goals.
Geelong take on Freo.
Geelong
by probably
10 goals.
We should smash them.
GWS take on Sydney.
Big game.
Huge game.
One of the games of the round.
GWS win this. They're looking better at getting a top two spot.
I think the Giants will win it by 3 goals.
I reckon Sydney spent a lot of petrol tickets in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And I think even if the Giants win, Sydney will still play finals.
Then we've got Gold Coast take on Brisbane.
Oh, the Q Clash 2.
Oh.
You know what? Profit call.
Yeah.
Roast Trinity.
Oh. That'll hurt because you were away. If it happens the first time.
I'll fly back.
You know you can get good Sunday roast in the UK.
Yeah.
Like way better than ours. They have Yorkshire puds with them.
Oof.
Best Sunday roast I've ever had was in London.
Tom and I will get a roast and we'll Skype you and you'll just have to have a roast at whatever time we're having one.
It'll be there's two of you and one of me, that's fair.
Yeah. Yep.
Can't wait to have a roast at 8 a.m.
Do you know what? We will get the Trinity this week because you're not here.
Fuck.
Your boys will beat the Tigers because you're not here.
Wow, that's harsh.
No, but like, you know what I mean? That's Murphy's Law, yeah? Isn't it?
Yeah.
Brisbane, I reckon they'll win by 50 points.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a Brisbane murder.
Mm.
St Kilda take on Hawthorn. Speaking of murders, Hawthorn will win this by about 90 points.
Ooh, yep. Not by as much, I think, Hawks, by like 40.
Yeah, I think St Kilda will be thereabouts for a bit and then just drop away and
Nathan Brown won't be playing because he's fucking
out for 3 weeks.
Dead. Death penalty because they fucking gave it to him.
Roughhead back in. Hawks by 100.
Yeah, but see, they were really good without him on the weekend. Bruce will kick 5. That's my big call.
Then we've got Carlton take on Western Bulldogs Sunday afternoon.
Bulldogs.
Bulldogs, Carlton, disgusting. Yeah,
doggies.
Yep.
Fold. West Coast take on Melbourne at Optus Stadium.
Now,
Melbourne's a sneaky chance.
They are. This time last year, Tom McDonald kicked that fucking fluke goal.
Hmm.
But West Coast are playing for a top two spot. And if the Giants win and Collingwood win, West Coast will be like, right, we need to win to stay top two. And they want a home final. They want a home final first up. They don't want to have to travel until the granny.
Profit call.
Yep.
West Coast won't win a game for the rest of the year.
Whoa.
It's huge.
Yeah. They'll drop this one to Melbourne. They'll go up to the Gabatoir in the final round and have a bath. They'll get killed. They'll get their wings clipped. And then they'll finish, I don't know, predictor numbers, boy.
Where probably were they? 3 or 4.
3 or 4. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're knocked out, straight sets. It's all over.
Jeez.
Yep.
No, I don't think Melbourne will win because just looking at the numbers, they haven't been a team in the top 8 all year.
I think when it hits round 22 and you know that, that's
playing in your head.
It's time. And especially...
It's not time.
It's time.
Melbourne.
It's Melbourne time.
No, it's not.
It's not Melbourne time.
There will they're be gonna, a WA. Gonna, they'll be 2 hours
stand
ahead.
Stand up and they're going to make the finals.
Fuck them. They're going to lose this. Essendon are going to make the finals. Fuck Melbourne.
For our boy Dusha,
mm.
West Coast have to win.
Do they can't? Isn't there a calculation where Port Adelaide and Sydney miss?
No, not anymore because Sydney won today.
Oh,
West Coast need to win. This is weird. It's...
I'm going to do it right now. I'm going to put Melbourne winning this game and see what it does to Dusha, but I can tell you it breaks his heart.
Yep. Essendon probably finished 10th.
Here's flip side, and this will hurt Dusha, but if Essendon miss finals.
Yeah.
They do.
They still believe next year.
Surely.
So if Melbourne miss finals, they'll never recover.
Right. So I've just done the math.
Do you know what makes me feel good? Mm. If Melbourne miss finals, Essendon sneak in. Because it reminds me of the year 2000 when the last time Melbourne were a good club. But then Essendon just took a big shit on them.
See, West Coast end up fifth if that happens.
Yeah.
That's as far as they can fall.
That'll happen.
The problem is, though, Essendon again hit that thing where Sydney are 0.2% ahead of them.
Fuck.
So
we're going to have to kill Richmond.
You're going to have to kill Richmond.
Is there a way that West Coast lose all of them, finish fifth, Essendon win both, finish eighth,
no.
Go over there, ambush them?
No, no way. No way that there is Not, no
is,
way.
Is that mathematically impossible?
They have to beat Melbourne. Melbourne cannot win for Bombers to make it.
Fuck.
Who does that have as Essendon playing in the finals?
If Essendon make the finals, all right, I'm just going to go back and change.
Because I'm real
that.
Curious to see what round one of the finals is. Because
Oh, hang on. No, I think because I did some other math with North winning both, you still miss. So let's just say North lose to Adelaide.
Yep.
All right. You finish 8th.
Yep.
Your first final, Collingwood.
Fuck me.
At the MCG.
Jesus. That would be the biggest attended game in history. Bigger than the grand final.
Huge.
It's been, oh, fuck.
Because then, do you want to know what your road is, though, after that? So.
We beat Collingwood, who have run out of legs.
So you beat them. I'm just doing a bit of a cool. You then have to play Hawthorn at the G.
Jesus Christ.
So you beat them. You then got to go to the Giants, beat the Giants, which you've done. Guess what happens if that happens, Dusha?
We're in the grand final against Richmond.
No, you're in the final against the Cats.
Imagine.
So it's a Bombers premiership.
It's a HGF-GF.
Yeah, that's not bad.
That would be...
And then whoever the Brisbane person on the grand final sprint is, he'll win as well.
Yeah,
and then we all win.
It'll be Alex Witherden. No, nah, probably not. Nah. Who's quicker than him?
Charlie.
His ankle's broken.
Shh. Oh, fuck. He'll do it anyway.
He'll just hop.
Yeah. He'll just take everyone else out. All right.
Final game.
Last game of the round. Last profit call I'll be making this season.
Jesus.
By the grand final.
No, because the episode we do will be post grand final.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm going for a while.
Fuck. You are. Oh, I'm sad now.
Ah, we'll be right.
Yeah, we will.
Adelaide Crows take on North Melbourne.
Crows. Texless Crows.
My gut says, my head says North, but I don't tip with my head. And my gut says I want Adelaide to win, so Essendon are a mathematical possibility to keep making finals.
Fuck, there's two. I can't believe there's two games on Sunday that I need to very much follow to see if my boys can make the finals. If we win on Friday and then fucking
Melbourne and North.
Or no, just like, just one of them, like a goal off the siren or something, I mightn't come back.
Jesus, fuck.
Oh, I'm going to be a stressed boy. A stressed, tired boy.
You will. How many emails have we got, Dusha?
Well, I'm going to read a couple because you guys are going to do a mailbag episode.
Yes, we are. We figured you're a tired boy. We're going to let you go to bed. So Sean and I will do a mailbag of all the emails we haven't got to. I know we promised one now. We'll do one on our first solo.
A big one. Big mailbag episode.
Big, deep mailbag of loneliness.
So I'll do a couple of emails now. I'm very tired, and then I'm going to go to bed, and it's going to be good.
Good.
Anyway, first email from Raymond. AFLW season 2019. Hey, guys.
Oh, yeah.
What are your thoughts on the recent news of Gill saying there was still going to be 8 rounds for the AFLW next season, despite 2 new clubs joining up? Should the season be expanded? Profit call, Melbourne to pull both the AFLW Cup and the AFL Premiership next year with Oliver to grab a Brownlow for the next 3 years. Cheers, Ray.
Thanks, Ray.
First half of your email, great question. Second half, shut the fuck up.
But speaking of shutting the fuck up, shut the fuck up, Gil.
Oh, he just cannot read the fucking
so
room.
What's the thing? So is it 6 weeks and then 2 weeks of finals?
Six games and then 2 weeks of finals.
Yeah, so he says 8 rounds, but I guess it's 8 weeks.
This is adding in 2 teams as well. Yeah,
so you would not everyone to play every team.
Hate that. That's just stupidity from the outset.
Did you hear Josh Jenkins?
What did he say?
Comes out and goes, oh, but in the NFL, not every team plays every team. And Chloe Malloy, who's a rising star from last year, this year just shot back. They have 42 teams, dickhead.
Yeah, shut up, Jenkins. Go hit the post, you fuck.
Here's the thing though, like, and then Gil was like, oh, the World Cup only goes for 4 weeks. It's a pretty significant competition. It takes months to qualify for the World Cup, you gigantic bell end in a suit that doesn't fit.
Yeah.
All right. Also 2 points. NFL, not the AFL.
Yeah.
Fucking FIFA World Cup, not the AFL.
Yeah.
AFLW should probably function pretty similar to the AFL.
If the AFL do not think that they have the ability to have those extra teams and games, why the fuck do they commit to the extra teams? Because they're short-sighted and stupid.
They're idiots.
Treat the competition with a fucking bit of... So here's the thing, right? You get commenters who are fucking morons on articles like this being like, the women's league's bad, I'm a fucking idiot, and all these wankers, right? Does my head in. And it's like, the reason they see this competition as a joke is because...
The AFL
sees it as a joke. They've made a mockery of the comp, so they invite other people to make mockery of the comp.
Yep. Lift Gil. I want the season to be longer. I think Daisy's off the mark, though. Daisy Pierce was like, start it in January or something. That's tricky because then you're up against the Australian Open and the Formula One stuff and the cricket still
Channel
going
7.
And-
cricket's still going, but Channel 7 no longer have...
the tennis, actually. The tennis. Actually, see, yeah.
But here's the thing. The cricket, they run both their comps at the same time.
The heat is a factor, probably.
The heat is a factor. But cricket, the men's and women's comps run at the same time.
Why can't the when does the season end currently? Is it because they don't like to cross over with the men's preseason or some shit? Or
I'm not entirely sure.
Just wait, no, this year the grand final was first
round
week.
One.
Yeah.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, because it
just start earlier. Like, for fuck's sake. Give them a proper season. They invest so much. They're not getting paid much, and they're investing so much time into actually playing and trying to make this sport better so that other girls are going to play.
Otherwise,
it
just feels like
growing. The AFL, like, we've got to keep growing this competition, and then they're just going to shrink it. Yep. Stupidity.
AFLW is also fucking sick. I'd watch it if it was on.
Well, here's the other thing, too, is they want to shrink the competition. They've already blown their load on that by adding two expansion clubs. If they wanted to...
With plans to add two more the following year.
This is what I mean. I think the AFL just had no idea, have no idea how to run this comp.
Is there a reason why they don't want to do it during winter?
I think they don't want to...
Because they don't want to clash with the men's games?
Yes.
Why can't they be curtain raisers?
Nah, because I don't like that. I don't like the idea that the women's comp is a warm-up for the men's comp. I think it sends the wrong message.
But you, like, I mean, I can see how you could put it that way. But if it's a curtain raiser, and that's probably not the term we want to use, I guess, but you've got people who are going to other games anyway, you're going to get a bigger audience because you'll go, because I would, if the Brisbane AFL women's team was playing before the Collingwood game on the weekend, I would have gone there early.
Well, there was a game last year, Geelong game in Geelong, VFLW game.
Yep.
I know VFLW, AFL.
Yep.
And there was people at that ground from 9 o'clock until 7:30 that night.
That rules. That's a lot of footy.
That's a lot of footy.
I want them to get to the point.
Perfect amount, to be honest.
Where the women's season is, the women's season has the opportunity to actually eventually have a better model than the men's one because they could just have.
They could trial anything they want.
Well, yeah, like the men's comp should be 17 games.
Yeah.
It's too long.
With a few extras.
Well, you can throw a few extras, a few blockbusters, whatever. There's been great models suggested and that sort of thing. But yeah, six games is just shit. It's just... Yeah.
How many teams are there in the
AFL?
There'll be 10 next season.
And they're only playing six games.
And they're only going to play six games.
It makes me sick.
It's stupid.
Fuck off, Gil!
Yep.
Yeah. Next email.
All right. So this is from Sam, who is a lifetime Port Adelaide, in quotation marks, fan. Hey boys, love the show. I'm 19, lived in Adelaide my whole life, grew up as a Port supporter. Never really been a big fan. I just like to play it up when I'm around Crows fans. Beginning to footy more and I'm beginning to
realize, I like that.
I'm beginning to realize how much I don't like Port. I want to get behind another team. Brisbane, GWS, North, who should I go with? Cheers, Sam.
Can he do that?
Is that a TC behaviour? Yeah, here's you're gonna allow it because him. He mentioned Brisbane.
No. Fuck you. He said he's not really into it. It's kind of just been I grew up in the town and, you know, I picked a team
that would piss off.
Now he's getting into the sport, so I would allow it.
Yeah.
He's a little old.
19, yeah.
He's 10 years. All right, look, if you're allowing it,
well,
fine.
No, let's have a discussion about it. I just think that he said he hasn't been into the sport. He's kind of just done it to rib some of his mates who go for Adelaide or whatever. And now he's getting into the sport, so he wants to enjoy it more. And part of that is, you know, picking a team that he likes. So I would probably
He have made this same decision in 2014 when they made a prelim and nearly won?
Ooh.
Port aren't that far off being a contender.
No, they've been good for most of the year. So there's clearly
maybe who are the other teams besides Brisbane that he mentioned?
GWS and North.
I don't want to be biased here.
Mm-hmm. You're going to go with GWS. Good call, Sean.
Yeah, good call, Sean. Josh Kelly, best player in the
NFL. Out
of those
three... Go Brisbane or North.
Yeah.
No, go the Giants. Heart. Fuck off. They're the AFL machine.
Yeah, get on the machine.
Nah, if you go Giants, you're a fucking TC.
That's rude.
But thanks for your email, Sam. Good luck. Let us know what you do. I think that if
pick
you're
the Giants,
starting
mate.
To love
pick the
game now, you're allowed to change your team.
Pick the Giants.
Yeah.
Get on Josh Kelly.
Yeah.
Also, they have the dumbest fucking theme song in the entire
exactly.
world.
Get on them. They wear high vis.
All right. We've got an email from Chad the Simple Guy. Subject, fuck boys the Swan. Fuck, they are so good, but so shit. This was before their win today. Boys, round 17, Swans v. Roos were on top of the world. Round 18, Suns versus Swans, pretty fucking dead from injuries. Round 19, Bombers v. Swans. Bombers get away from us. Round 20, Collingwood v. Swans. Boys, oh boys. Sydney is so fucking close to be so good, but they can be so fucking shit. He's excited. He's very excited about football. He's very excited about his Swans. And Chad, I want to hear back from you this week because
They lifted, mate.
They lifted. It's like
they're in. They're in the eight.
Heaney lifted.
Oh, lifted.
Lift off
into another atmosphere.
Heaney actually needed to put on a helmet before he took that fucking mark. Otherwise, he wouldn't have got oxygen where he was.
He got up so high.
He high-fived Dusha in space.
He did. Oh. He was tickling God's toes.
I was going to say he's tickling Dusha's toes, but God, Dusha, yeah.
I'll take it. Anyway, love the
plot. Gary Abel Sr. was up there.
Anyway, love the pod and all the Sandspans pods. I look forward to this one every single week. Of course, I love the rest. Thanks, Chad, the simple guy.
Thanks, man.
All right. Last email, and this is a very passionate email from a man called Paul, who is...
Dusha, this is your final email of the season.
Yeah, which is good because there's a lot of yelling in it. Oh, okay. You know that I love yelling in
emails. Yeah, it's true.
Also, this won't be my final email of the season because I will be here for grand final.
That's true.
For the season, yes. For this
after the grand final, though.
Well, no, like, I'm here. Okay, so I get back to Melbourne like a Wednesday. The grand final is that Saturday.
Oh, you get to watch the grand final?
I get to watch the grand final.
Oh, incredible.
Anyway, great.
Yeah.
All right, so this is from Paul, and this email was sent 23 hours ago. He is a West Coast supporter.
Oh Paul. Subject. You're up there with Isaac Heaney.
Subject. How bloody good is footy? Footy is so bloody good. Just recovering from the bloody epic of the game that was West Coast v Port. As a West Coast supporter, I was standing for most of the last 5 minutes. And then he was getting up and about during the Cats game. It was very sad that Geelong couldn't pull it off for you, Tom.
Me too, mate. Me too.
Paul just wanted to point out that he was not very popular with his housemates today. He also just wants to ask our thoughts on Razor Ray, your mate, Sean. Do you think he's made himself stand out a little too much, or do you like the extra character brings to the game? Absolutely love how good's footy. I don't think I've enjoyed a season more than this, and that's mostly thanks to you guys. Hey. Go West Coast, from Paul.
Good on you, Paul.
On you, Paul.
Enjoy the roast. Enjoy space. That was a fucked win by you guys, as we discussed before. Razor Ray.
Filth.
I don't mind him.
Fuck off, Tom.
Oh.
He's a piece of shit.
I do think sometimes he injects himself into games a bit too much, yeah. But... As purely as an umpire, I think he's a good umpire.
Do you think that he, and this is a change of sport.
Sean might murder me.
Sean.
Hey, Sean, was he umpiring the Collingwood?
No, I don't know. It's like I always say, Tom.
Here we go. What do you always say, mate?
Carno Bakes.
I don't know. He's just a cunt. No, look, he's an experienced operator. And for the most part, he's a good umpire. But I said this before, I don't want to see you.
He has a nickname.
You. Shut up.
He has a nickname.
Yeah, if you have a nickname, you're a fucking flog of an umpire.
Cop that, Razor. Do you reckon that he looks up to like Billy Bowden, the cricket umpire? Who?
Yeah, I reckon he does.
Yeah.
I reckon he looks at that crooked finger and he got a huge erection.
A big crooked stiffy.
That was the last statement on my last episode for 6 weeks. That was a good place to end. So, boys, how good's footy? It's going to be super good when I'm enjoying it at 4 a.m. in the UK. Backing my boys who are going to steamroll their way into finals. It's going to be the best. Go Bombers. See you in the UK. Any British or...
Yeah,
English
yeah.
Listeners.
Anyone in the UK who likes the How Good Footy Show, buy How Good's Footy shirt, wear it to any of the live shows that Douche is doing for
Plumbing. Yeah, do it.
Fucking so much footy.
Just, yeah, anyone in the UK tour, just get up in Douche's face and just yell ask him just how good footy is.
I can't wait for, I'll be like, hey guys, welcome to this week's episode of Plumbing the Death Star, very special live edition where we ask the important question and then someone's just like, how good's footy?
Please do it.
It'll kill
Zammit.
And then Zammit will kill me because he'll be like, you encouraged this, didn't you? I'll be like, no.
You can't listen back on an episode and find that. And if you want to just let us know and you can't yell it out in a crowded room, you can ask us how good's footy by sending us an email to howgoodsfooty@gmail.com or on Twitter at howgoodsfooty or individually, I'm at Awkward Trade.
I'm at Sidekick of Dally.
I'm at Douche13.
Guys, keep getting your tips in because Tom.
Yeah, he's fragile.
When it comes to the king over here, Joel Dusha, if it bleeds, we can kill it.
Oh, yes, we can. Go Cats.
Go Bombers.
Go Lions.
Go Joel Dusha, king of tipping. Untouchable.
Go Button.
Oh!
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.